Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
What you are about to hear is a labor of love. Our love is for the music, and the music is for the people. We at Rockstrex 10 and CNJRadio.com have always recommended that any music we promote on our shows be legally purchased, downloaded, and/or streamed. We feel this way not only for our network of shows, but for all music-based shows. By supporting the artist in this way, more music can be created and the industry as a whole can prosper. The music is owned by their respective labels, or hopefully by the artists themselves. This broadcast is owned by CNJRadio.com. Our only mission is to promote the music we love and promote the legal purchase of it. Enjoy the show and turn it up.
Welcome to Rockstrex 10!
Is she really going out with him?
Well, there she is. Let's ask her.
Betty, is that Jimmy's ring you're wearing?
Mm-hmm. Gee, it must be great riding with him.
Is he picking you up after school today?
Mm-mm.
By the way, where'd you meet him?
I met him at the candy store. He turned around and smiled at me. You get the picture?
Yes, we see.
That's when I fell for
the leader of the pack.
Small, he kissed me goodbye. The tears were beginning to show. As he drove away on that rainy night, I begged him to go slow. Whether he heard, I'll never know.
Welcome to Rock Strikes 10, the show guaranteed to always give you 10 songs, no more, no less. My name is Joey. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the show here today, especially if you're doing it at the central station of CNJRadio.com. All right, welcome to part three and the last part of our 1964 retrospective. Like I said at the top of part one, this was kind of a last minute addition to my other yearly deep dives that I do throughout the year. I've never gone back to the 60s before, but I felt the need to do it because 1964 was such a big year for rock and roll in general. It really came back in 64, and there's a lot of cool different types of acts going on here, so I wanted to pay tribute to it. And once again, we adhere to the Clash rule on this one. No Elvis, Beatles, or the Rolling Stones. And that's not a slight on them. I just needed to do that to get it down to three parts. And we just spend a whole week here in 64. And then we move on to the countdown that I basically have finished now with 1974. So we got one more part here to go. Come join me, won't you? We kick things off with a song that I actually was familiar with prior to the Twisted Sister cover, believe it or not. I had a couple of oldies comps that we had probably gotten from a gas station or something like that at some point on a road trip when I was a little kid. So I would play all that stuff for myself. But yes, I was familiar with the original, and that's, of course, a huge song right there, Leader of the Pack by the Shangri-Las. Shangri-Las had a big year in 64, not just with that song, but with another song that would be covered by another favorite hard rock band of mine, Aerosmith, with the song Remember Walking in the Sand. And you listen to those songs, and I kind of briefly touched on this in an earlier episode. I've got a couple of girl group comps from over the years. Of course, there's that great Rhino One girl group sound. It's in like a pillbox hat. It's great. And then I came across this two-disc one a couple of decades ago when I was working at the CD stores, and it's called Growing Up Too Fast. And it's just a plethora of teen angst, heartbreak, hormones, death. It's all there. It's all of the teen end of the world tragedies. That Skeeter Davis song, End of the World, it encapsulates all of these songs. It's everything is the end of the world on these songs. And in some of the instances, it does legitimately feel like it was something like a guy fucking dying in Leader of the Pack. I'm not sure if the guy I Remember Walking in the Sand is dead or not, but it sure fucking feels like it. That song is a real, real downer, and it's real dark in its tone. So yeah, I'm just fascinated by the darker aspects of teen music in the early 60s. It's craziness. And then, of course, it all culminates with Girl for All Seasons. All right. I'm kidding, but yeah, hopefully you get that reference. If you know, you know. Moving on here. Sticking with early 60s teenage Shantouses, we've got, of course, Dusty Springfield right here. I couldn't leave off of this list. She would go on to even more critical acclaim later on in the decade with the Dusty in Memphis record, but she was already putting out hit records in 64. She had already done Wishing and Hoping in this same year, but I'm going to go with this one right here. Just in case you've never heard this, for you White Stripes fans out there, we're going to play you the Dusty Springfield original hit version of I Just Don't Know What to Do with Myself. Enjoy.
I just don't know what to do with myself. Don't know just what to do with myself. I'm so used to doing everything with you, planning everything for two, and now that we're through, I just don't know what to do with my time. I'm so lonesome for you, it's a crime. Going like a summer rose needs the sun and rain. I need your sweet love to beat all the pain. I just don't know what to do with myself. I just don't know what to do with myself. Like a summer rose.
shake with all your might, oh baby.
Proof positive, especially back in that day, that a minute 45 was all you needed to get your point across. That was the Swingin' Blue Jeans and their biggest hit right there, the Hippie Hippie Shake, which I'm sure most of you know that song. I definitely heard the original first, and then I remember in the late 80s, the great Georgia Satellites covered that. That was one of the should-have-been hits off of the Cocktail soundtrack, but unfortunately Kokomo got all the love on that one. But yes, Hippie Hippie Shake by the Swingin' Blue Jeans. That might be a bit of an asterisk. I know it got released internationally at the very end of 63, but it got released in America at the beginning of 64. So I'm going to go ahead and go by the American timeline here for the purpose of including it. It's a big song, and I wanted to put it here on the retrospective. It became a hit in 64 no matter where you lived. So I think that works out okay, especially in those days. They didn't have internet back then. What'd you want? All right, I get it. That's a joke from the previous episode if you didn't catch that. And yes, before that, Dusty Springfield doing her hit song, I Just Don't Know What to Do With Myself, that would also be famously covered later on by the White Stripes. A lot of songs, of course, that would be covered later on by our heroes. Like this next song right here that kicks off this next twofer. I remember this song being successful for, I guess, the second time ever in the mid-80s. Whenever one of my favorite bands at the time, and still, Hall & Oates, when they did their Apollo set and they brought on two of the original Temptations, Ruffin and Kendricks right there, and they went into like a Motown medley, Temptations medley, and this was one of the songs included, and because it was, it became a chart hit again. It is one of the great, great songs of all time, and the Temptations had already put out a couple of things, but this was the one that really put them on the map. 64 was a big year for the Temptations. And how do you not know that by now if you didn't know it before? How have you not seen that miniseries like 25,000 times like I have? Those of you who watched VH1 in the early 2000s definitely know what I'm talking about there. And I think to this day you could still go watch that miniseries for free, like on Pluto and Freevee and stuff like that. But yes, of course, getting back, we're talking about the Temptations here. And their big, big song here in 64, kicking off this twofer with The Way You Do the Things You Do.
You got a smile so bright, you know you could have been a candle. I'm holding you so tight, you know you could have been a hand. You know you could have been a broom. The way you smell so sweet. You know you could have been some perfume. Well, you could have been anything that you wanted to. And I can tell the way you do the things you do.
The way you do the things you do. The way you do the things you do.
As pretty as you are. You could be an hour. The way you stole my heart. You know you could have been a Cupid. And baby you're so smart. You know you could have been a schoolboy. Well, you could have been anything that you wanted to. And I can tell the way you do the things you do.
The way you do.
You could have been so
you do. You really swept me off my feet.
The way you do, the things you do.
You made my life complete.
The way you do, the things you do.
You made my life so bright.
The way you do, the things you do.
You make me feel alright.
The way you do, the things you do.
You make me feel alright.
Yes, that might be the dark horse of this retrospective. I feel like that may have been one of the least heard songs, at least as far as that particular performance goes. That was the originally recorded version of what would later become known as Hang On Sloopy, but in 1964, a band called The Vibrations put out a song called My Girl Sloopy. So yeah, there you go. Sloopy has a very long and complicated history as a song. That is a documentary unto itself. I believe there may even be one, but I have heard and read a lot about it over the years, so I won't go into that kind of detail, but it's definitely a decently fascinating dive onto just a song. But one of the co-writers of that song originally was a guy named Burt Burns, who, if you don't know that name, that guy was a mover and shaker. He was a Svengali. He was probably definitely a carny. But he made a lot of things happen in the history of rock and roll. I think he actually wrote Twist and Shout as well. So that guy, pretty damn important. And there's a lot of controversy on his name. But yeah, feel free. Go look up Burt Burns, B-E-R-N-S, by the way. And also the history of Hang On Sloopy and some of the other goings-on. But yes, of course, a year later in 65 is when everybody else would get to know that song as Hang On Sloopy by the McCoys, featuring a very, very, very young Rick Derringer, but more on that later. We're about halfway through this episode here, halfway through part three of the 1964 retrospective, and we got a bunch more iconic names to go through here. This next name, I'm not a huge fan of, but I've come to appreciate her just a bit more, especially diving a bit on her last year whenever Burt Bacharach passed away, and she definitely easily did her best stuff under the Bacharach brand. And this is one of them right here. So I definitely wanted to include her in this song, especially on this retrospective, because it's a big one. So for someone I don't play a whole lot on the show and don't have a whole lot of reason to, it's definitely important that I play this song here by Dionne Warwick. All you got to do is go look up the cover versions of this song and just hear this version based on its own merit. Hear how great it is. One of the most wistful songs of all time and one of the most heartbreaking. This is Dionne Warwick with Walk On By.
If you see me walking down the street and I start to cry each time we meet, walk on by. Just let me grieve in private, 'cause each time I see you, I break down and cry. Walk on by.
Stop.
Walk on by.
Stop.
Walk on by.
Goodbye. Don't stop.
Yes, and look who just popped up here into the scene in 1964. Fittingly at the end here, or towards the end of the 64 retrospective, because at the beginning of 1964, the Who, as a name, does not exist. Early on in 64, a band called the High Numbers put out a handful of singles, which they did okay. But for some reason, something happened. I don't know the entire story because I'm a fan, but I'm not the one that has read all the books yet on them. I'll get there. But by the end of the year, they would change their name to The Who, put out a record called My Generation, a full-length album actually was the order of the day at that point because that single had not come out yet. We got to wait another year for that one. But the first kind of firing across the bows here of, hey, this is a new band, it's a new sound, and definitely has more of an edge than even the average British Invasion band, but much like the Dave Clark Five. I feel like the Dave Clark Five and The Who really set the tone for edgier rock, which would basically become the popularization of hard rock later on. So yeah, The Who right there, coming in at the end of the year with I Can't Explain. Geez, what else can be said? I can't explain just how important this song is. But it is great, and it's a better world for that song, for sure. So this next guy right here, he had already put out a good amount of singles and records by 1964. He had one real big hit under the name Fingertips early on, which was almost perceived as a novelty record at the time, but also became very important and very popular, and not just seen as a novelty. The novelty was that he was a child star. He was already given the title genius at an early age, or at least a child prodigy. And that would be Stevie Wonder when he was still little Stevie Wonder. But as the decade went on in the 60s, he actually got signed to Motown Records, a label that was on the up and up and really going to be the label that defined the 60s, honestly, one of the big ones. And Stevie was starting to put out a little more adult-based type fare, even though he was still a kid, a teenager at the time. So this song really is one of his first big studio singles, because Fingertips was a live song. So that was really cool to basically hear a real early example of Stevie Wonder in the studio and having a decent hit with this song right here. And it plays up to his gimmick for sure. No, not that gimmick. And no, not that one. The one that he's the third most famous for. So here's Stevie Wonder, not little Stevie Wonder. Here is Stevie Wonder in 1964 with this early hit called Hey Harmonica Man.
Dance and sing.
spoke earlier about how the Dave Clark Five and The Who were really pushing rock and roll to its extremes and being an early influence on what would later become hard rock and then later on heavy metal. And they definitely did that. But another band that definitely had a hand in that movement was a little bit more of a blues-based band called the Yardbirds. And in 64, they were putting out some of their first stuff. And that was one of their first singles called I Wish You Would. And one of the other songs they put out at that time was called A Certain Girl. And I hated to cut A Certain Girl off of the show, but I went ahead with this one because it was a little heavier and everything. But I really like A Certain Girl. And actually, the first time I heard A Certain Girl was when Warren Zevon covered it years later. But yeah, I Wish You Would really puts forward the fact that, hey, there's this new sound coming around. And it's blues-based, but it's really heavy. So, especially at that time, you got to think about people heard a song like that in 1964. They definitely lost their minds in the same way they lost their minds here in the Beatles or some of the early Dave Clark Five or the Kinks. I forgot to mention the Kinks in that group, but obviously they had a huge hand in it as well. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed that. And if you were keeping score at home, that was Eric Clapton on lead guitar, who I hate to play on this show, but I will play him with the Yardbirds. So yeah, and I'm not a Clapton guy, but yeah, come on, the Yardbirds are fucking great. We got one more song to go here. Much like the Yardbirds and a few other bands, I wanted to play more than one song here because the other big song that the Zombies had in 64 was Tell Her No. And if you don't know that song by name, you definitely know the song. Go look it up. But how could I not play this? One of the big, big songs right there. And this is one of those just perfect songs. So many people have covered it. And it's great for a reason. So to close off this retrospective here for 1964, this is The Zombies with She's Not There.
Well, no one told me about her, the way she lied. Well, no one told me about her, how many people cried. But it's too late to say you're sorry. How would I know? Why should I care? Please don't bother trying to find her. She's not there. Well, let me tell you about the way she looked, the way she had said, the color of her hair. Her voice was soft and cool, her eyes were clear and bright, but she's not there. No one told me about her. What could I do? Well, no one told me about her, though they all knew. But it's too late to say you're sorry. How would I know? Why should I care? Please don't bother trying to find her. She's not there. She had said the color of her hair. Her voice was soft and cool, her eyes were clear and bright, but she's not there. Don't bother trying to find her. She's not there. Well, let me tell you about the way she looked, the way she had said, the color of her hair. Her voice was soft and cool, her eyes were clear and bright, but she's not there.
That's still such a cool song to hear, especially on the headphones. It is a masterpiece in engineering and songwriting, of course, and performance. But yeah, Zombies, She's Not There. Closing off part three and closing off the entirety of our 1964 retrospective here on Rock Strikes 10. Once again, wanted to shine a spotlight on this particular year because it's the year that rock and roll fought back and won and really got its brain and its life back after that initial push to kill it off at the end of the 50s. So yes, teen idols be damned. Rock and roll was back and rock and roll was here to stay. And with that, right after this one, we could just fast forward in the time machine. an entire decade away from this, going from 60 years up to 50 years ago, in which we will be celebrating the entirety of 1974 in all of its glory, all of its genres, its one-off singles and odds and ends, and of course, the top albums countdown of 1974. It's going to be a lot of fun. Got a lot of great music to get to, and you know there's going to be a lot of parts to it. So hope you're ready. Get yourself mentally ready to celebrate the entirety of 1974. That being said, I hope you enjoyed this week here with me in this three-parter celebrating the great 1964 as well. Let me know what you think about all this. Feel free to drop me a line anytime. Let me know what you liked and what you didn't like. And if something you heard for the first time, let me know, because I love to hear about stuff like that. I'd like to know that I'm making some sort of difference here. But anyway, once again, thank you. Anybody who hears my voice, thank you for tuning into the show here today. And until then, until the 74 retrospective, stay tuned for my better half, Nola, with the plugs, and followed by the best damn outro song in all the podcasting business. Take it away, Nola.
We would like to thank you for taking the time to listen to the show today. You can reach us on Facebook or Twitter. We love getting messages and always do our best to respond. Every time you share our show, we give our cats Ruby and Ripley a treat. We are on Twitter at RockStrikes10, and the direct email is RockStrikes10@gmail.com. When you search for us, the number 10 is always spelled out. If you would like to support our show financially, we do have Rock Strikes 10 shirts for sale. For $20, we will ship you out a high-quality, soft-as-heck, next-level branded shirt and a button. Send us an email or direct message for more details or to order. Please help us spread the word about this show and all of our other quality shows by listening, liking, subscribing, and sharing. Our official website is cnjradio.com. You can visit this site for all episodes of Rock Strikes 10 going all the way back to episode number 1. While you're on cnjradio.com, check out some of these other quality shows. The Wrestling House Show, a pro wrestling podcast unlike any other. The Synaptic Empire Audio Transmissions, hosted by Randy Brown, a true alternative. The Last Theater, starring Chris, where cinema's trash is treated like treasure. And the I Am Vinyl podcast with Pete LaRussa and occasionally Joey. We also highly recommend that you check out our good friend Mark Striegel, who can now be heard exclusively on SiriusXM as part of Ozzy's Boneyard and Hair Nation. Last, but certainly not least, we would like to give an extra special thanks to the great Pete LaRussa and the band Spacebeard for the best outro song in the business. Go to facebook.com/spacebeardband to purchase their music and make sure to tell them that Rock Strikes 10 sent ya. We hope you tune into the next show. Until then, have fun.
Post game show is brought to you by Christ, I can't find it. The hell with it.